and then as soon as and then thereafter go out for tea, and then after tea go to our commissions. Would that be fine with you? Okay, because otherwise there is no way we can wait for tea. And secondly, according to arrangement, the chairpersons of the National Assembly was going to come and just welcome you, but well, he said that he did not have time. But if it is possible, he may come and just welcome you. That is for the National Assembly. Remember yesterday, it was from the National Council of Provinces. But let me say, my impression was that the inputs yesterday were fascinating. They added value to my outlook, and they were quite interesting. And I learned a lot, and I'm sure that a lot of us learned a lot from the different inputs that we had yesterday. So the chairperson of the committee yesterday made opening remarks and emphasized more cooperation between stakeholders, emphasizing enhanced general performance due to possible synergies in order to work for more jobs, sustainable livelihoods, and an accelerated and inclusive growth of the tourism industry, which the government cannot do alone. It needs each and every stakeholder in the economy, and it needs the support of each and every person in the community. The chairperson of the National Council of Provinces then came in welcoming guests and referred to a correlation between the global influence of a country and tourism expenditure per capita, and added that any projection in tourism growth served as an indication of a country's influence that it would exercise in the future. He referred to the importance of the 2010 FIFA World Cup and its legacy, and the need to optimize that legacy. He proposed that the summit be held annually, if needs be. The minister, in giving his keynote address, emphasized the importance of tourism in growth, in job creation, and sketched broadly the areas that cabinet felt were important in tourism. He raised the issue of discriminatory airport taxes in the European community. Then the DG came in, Ambassador Makubela, then made an input around the mandate of the Department of Tourism, its contribution to the GDP, employment, and touch on transformation. The projections for job creation in the industry were 225,000 by 2020, as this industry was relatively labor absorbing. He then looked at the growing volume and value of the industry and the need to address geographic spread and seasonality in the sector. He pointed out to potential growth areas in the African market, particularly in Algeria and Angola, and in the emerging markets like Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa as an alliance, from that alliance. He referred to the unique niche products and the need for growth in conventions and events in the way of contributing to tourism. He then looked at the trends in tourism. He warned of the oil price factor, particularly in long-haul destinations like countries in Europe, China, Brazil, that they were going to be affected. They might affect tourism, particularly if the price of oil increased markedly. He referred to transformation and mentioned the implementation of the tourism charter and the need to use government procurement as a lever for transformation and the need to promote domestic tourism. He referred to community beneficiation, that was the people, public, private partnerships, the four P's. He then dealt with enablers and the need to have policy synergies across and within spheres of government. Then we had the South African Tourism Business Council, which looked at the hindrances, enablers, and transformation in the industry, and then which was in support of the DG on the Department of Tourism. Then we had the South African Statistical Services by its DG, the Director General of Statistics, who mentioned sources of tourism and analyzed them. The tourism satellite account, and tourism statistics, including definition of who was a tourist and who was not a tourist according to them. Amongst the things he said was that if you went for a funeral from Cape Town to Durban and you slept there, you were considered as a tourist according to Statistics South Africa. So we are adding those as well. The Department of Arts, Culture and Tourism discussed its mandate and mentioned that it supports and establishes and develops arts, culture and heritage programs. They indicated that their contribution had not reached its full potential. That was a challenge. There needed to be improvements. I think when we get to commissions, then we shall deal with the how, why, what, and so forth of that aspect. Then he came with the issue of indigenous knowledge systems. And here perhaps sometimes we talk terms that other people do not understand. It is the culture of the people that originally from Africa or from this continent. Indigenous knowledge systems like the preparation of the medicines, their songs, and then he talked about their intellectual property rights, which was like, if you recall, we had this imbube, which was played across the world without the owners getting any compensation for the song. So now we had to try and develop that side of our culture. But I think in the process then we've got to have clear definitions of the owners, because for intellectual property to work, it should be, you've got to know who owns it, and then it should be clear to anyone that that one owns it, and then that person, that entity or person that owns it should benefit and have all the rights from intellectual property. And then in some instances you've got to prove your ownership of intellectual property. I do not know whether now the Department of Arts and Culture is going to provide resources and capacities to address some of these problems that we have raised. If they are not, let us raise them and say that we are not having those capacities, and then we see how we go forward. Then he raised the issue of events like festivals, which the department calls intangible culture. There were areas of intangible culture, and then according to discussions, there was a need also to look at developing the Makpungubwe festival, which is in Limpopo, and other festivals like Makufe, which is Bloemfontein, and then perhaps increase in the line of events those festivals accordingly. So we hope that they shall lead us in discussing as to how and what should be done in the area of culture. And we learned that cultural tourism and had externalities in all sorts of departments like transport, hospitality industry, and other areas of the economy. We had then to carve a niche for each and every museum, so that if people who visit Iziko in Cape Town, they still feel that there is a need to go to Robben Island, they still feel there is a need to go to other exhibiting cultural exhibiting centers in the country. And then we went to the issue of their proposals. For instance, they proposed that there should be joint seminars between curators that are looking after these museums and cultural institutions and tour guides in order to share ideas. What do we say about that? Should that be developed further? Should it not be developed further? And then if not, why not? If so, what are the relevant particulars? Then there was the issue of cooperative governance, which was led by the DG of cooperative governance, and then the issue of IDPs, which are integrated development plans for different provinces and municipalities, and their importance, the importance of having our inputs in there, because tourism was one of the aspects they discussed in the economy among many. And then many municipalities prioritize service delivery over and above tourism. But also let us remember that some municipalities are not geared up for tourism. There could be a mining municipality that was not interested in tourism per se. And there was the issue of the municipalities looking at their comparative and competitive advantages. For instance, Cape Town had a certain competitive and comparative advantage over Durban, although they may look to be having similar these things, similar products. But when it came to comparative and competitive advantages, they could differ either because of climate, because of the views, because of facilities that are there, and so forth. We were advised not to have destructive competition between provinces and municipalities and between provinces and provinces, like other provinces saying that they did not have malaria in their area, and therefore implying that other municipalities had malaria in their areas. That was destructive to South African tourism. And another issue that was raised was the issue of alignment between the provinces, municipalities, and the national government in conducting our business. The significance of the municipality, the main significance of municipalities was also to create an enabling infrastructural environment with good sanitation, road infrastructure, health facilities, and so forth. That could not only be delivered by the government, but they could also be delivered by the private sector. Then the supply of information and then the streamlining of bylaws, because according to the presentation, prior to the Department of Cooperative Governance, the DG pointed out that some municipalities had raised their levies too high, and this was affecting tourism. And the example that was cited was that, for instance, around the Kruger National Park, you had another town on the other side of the Kruger National Park having a totally different set of levies and bylaws compared to the other one, the other side of the Kruger National Park. And therefore, this had to be looked into, and then it had to be streamlined. Then there was the Department of Trade and Industry that talked about financial and non-financial support and what they had to support the disadvantaged areas in the geographical spread of South Africa. The last presentation was from the National Land, the Department of Transport, which mainly dealt with the National Land Transport Act, together with its accreditation of tourism operators and the conditions and then the regulations that they had. In short, that was what was discussed. We did not cover everything, but if we feel that there is something that is very important that could enrich our discussions today, please let us just have about 2 to 3 minutes inputs, so that when we go to our sessions, we have the information. Sanko.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it is based on the question of the disaster. A disaster is not catered for. The reason why I'm raising the disaster, things are happening so suddenly without knowing it. So we need actually the disaster to be catered. And then the question of the disability sector.
Disaster management. I'm sure.
Yes,
you're not
exactly.
You're not saying that our meeting was a disaster yesterday.
Okay. You see, and then another issue that is very important: the question of the disability sector. The disability sector need to be catered, because whenever what we deliberated about it within the document, even the presentation of yesterday, there was no reflective of what actually we are going to do about the disability people within the country.
Okay.
And then maybe again the issue that is very important, because we got a crisis in the country.
Let us not discuss. Let us just point out what was left out that we feel was important.
No, I'm citing the other one.
Continue, but just add what was left out.
Okay. The question of the HIV and AIDS issue in the industry. The question of the impact. You see, because you can end up have the industry, if we are not accommodating and foreseeable the risk management part of it, we need actually to consider that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Are there any other inputs? I think the issue of disadvantaged could come into transformation. And then that would also need some research, because countries like Brazil have got resorts for the disabled people. Is it Sokokoro or Sokoroko? I'm not sure of the name. But let us discuss that under transformation, please, or geographic spread. Yes, ma'am. Okay, we will be the next.
Good morning, colleagues and representatives. I just want to just remind, we appreciate the input and the reminder from the comrade from Sanko. Yesterday we agreed that in all entities that are represented here, as we go to commissions, they will have to speak about the issue of disability, people living with disability, and how do they include them, how do they, as they transform also, how do they fit in people living with disability. I think it's one sector that we cannot leave out, but I'm saying if we agree to that, as we discuss, so that as they report back, they must come and tell us how will they include them. I just thought I should raise that and remind. It's going to be included. We can't leave the sector out, unfortunately.
Thank you. Thanks for the chair.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nongleto Bulana from Khayelitsha. I'm so happy to be here, but I'm not happy on the other hand, because as far as I see, I'm the only one who's like from the disadvantaged area. And yet, I would like to ask to add the, as we are dealing with the environment at the same time here as a tourism, ne? But I don't see that thing that we are being engulfed by the global warming. I don't hear so much that how can we do the transformation in terms of or maybe greening our area or whatever. So I would like to hear that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let us have that input in commissions. That the compeller.
No, thanks. I was just reminding people who were here yesterday. I don't see this lady. Oh, you see the lady right at the back there who's speaking to another person was speaking about the grading and the access on the properties and the development of the tourism center. So I think the matter raised by that gentleman on grading and access, she has touched a little bit on those, because they are charged in making sure that these properties are accessible to everybody. We are not going to encourage the tourism business to build hotels for disabled people only, and the other people use the other hotels. All those hotels have to comply to the requirements that that lady was speaking about, and then must be in those standards, and therefore everybody must be part of those hotels. On the issue, Bradoni, of the HIV and AIDS, let's discuss that, as the chair says, in the commission, and look at the impact of HIV and AIDS in the business in which you are involved in, and then make recommendations when you come back from the commission. Say, this is how we feel as tourism industry, the impact of the HIV and AIDS. It is not just a thing that we are immune from it. We are part of it. People are coming there, even ourselves, as a business industry. This is affecting us, and therefore this is how we propose, us as business or as a sector, intend to handle this, and therefore we need a very structural, coordinated effort from government and the business sector and the NGOs in dealing with that matter that impacts on our business. Thank you.
PG.
Chair, thank you very much. I'm very sorry for coming late. There was an issue which was raised yesterday, Chairperson, and the insinuation in that respect was relating to ethnicity and so on. I really don't think we should entertain such sentiments. If somebody says, people who are born in the Eastern Cape, they come and take advantage of what's here in Western Cape. And those who are born here in Western Cape can't access these opportunities that are presented by the tourism sector. I think it's a very dangerous illusion that we should really entertain. because it's really quite dangerous to start looking at ourselves as South African from an ethnical point of view. All of us as South African, our rights are protected and enshrined in the Constitution, that we have the right to go and settle anywhere in the Republic. And therefore, we are protected, all of us. Equally, anyone who sees an opportunity in any province and that person wants to take advantage of these opportunities, they have the right to do that. We can't start defining ourselves in terms of where we're coming from within the Republic, and therefore meaning that we are unable to take advantages wherever they may prevail within the Republic. I think it's a very dangerous illusion that we should not entertain at all, because ethnicity and ethnic conflict is one of the biggest problems that we are faced with within the continent. And I don't think at this gathering, really we should, I did not actually concur with the answer given by the Department of Arts and Culture yesterday to say this is something we can't deal with. Diversity in terms of ethnicity, it's not an impediment for us to be able to work together and do certain things together as a country. And I don't think we should use the fact that we are diverse in terms of ethnicity or culture as an issue that really have to define where we need to operate. Once we start doing such things, I think we'll be trading on very dangerous territory. I don't think we should really entertain that, Chair. I don't know if this issue was addressed earlier. That's why I really thought that we need to deal with it, Chair. The question of universal accessibility. I think what we need to define here as we talk to issues related to people with disability, are we talking about access, them having access to facilities? Are we talking about them being empowered to participate meaningfully in the industry? So those are two issues that we need to deal with. Perhaps they will be dealt with in these commissions that have been defined. But as a department chairperson, let me put it on the record, that we have institutional capacity and structures within the department to deal with the universal accessibility of all the tourism infrastructure within the country. Now, it's a requirement, actually, even within our state institution, as government, all public areas must be accessible. So those issues are being addressed in other areas. But from the tourism sector, we're trying to work with our partners in the private sector to ensure that they are sensitive to these issues and they address them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think it should be clear to anyone, irrespective of ethnicity or tribal orientation or what. We are of equal, our citizenship is equal in South Africa. Black, white, whoever you are, that is the first thing. Secondly, we are proud of our diversity. We are not going to discourage people going on with their business as far as they do not offend other people. That's all. That is the bottom line. And then we heard that it was the gentleman from the back. I do not know whether he is still there. He's not here. Yes, who mentioned that? I think it was unfortunate. And then if he is part of a group, let that group withdraw the statement. If he is not part of that group, we shall write a letter and inform the person, because really inciting people around such things is unacceptable. Last input, the acting director.
Thank you very much. Maybe let me just start by agreeing with the DG in terms of all the issues that he has actually raised around ethnicity. But maybe just to correct maybe the perception or that as a department we said that these issues cannot be dealt with. In fact, first and foremost, one was actually acknowledging the fact that, this country for centuries actually, pre-1994, you had divisions in this country. And we actually have to acknowledge that reality. But then the issue is,
what is being done now to ensure that we are actually building a cohesive society. And all that I was saying is that we as the Department of Arts and Culture, we are actually having programs, social cohesion programs, that are actually trying to unite the people of this country. So we're not saying at all that this problem is actually insurmountable. It is not insurmountable. There are programs that are being put in place to ensure that we unite the people of this country. Thank you.
Without much ado, let us now deal with the practicalities of the meeting today, of the commissions. Firstly, let us encourage hot lines between heads of stakeholders, those that are heading different entities or departments or whatever. Those that you need, I mean, you need not have the hotline. Let us encourage them so that you can communicate even better. Let us try out of the engagement to build social capital. Let us try and build trust amongst people we work with. That is the bottom line. And then as we go on, then let us look at the issues. For instance, we have to look at volume and value of the tourism we are proposing. Sometimes you may invite people into the country as tourists, and then at the end of the day you find that they add a particular value, and then other people, when they come, like the Angolans, they buy much more. The value they add because of what they buy and so forth is much, much more. And I think that is what we mean by volume and value, looking at those, not only at volume, but also at value. And then the issue of niche products. For the benefit of other people, it's that these products are products that we only can deliver. Even if other people try to compete with us, we shall be in a position to win that competition. Is that clearer than Nietzsche? Then events. The president illustrated in his speech, quoted a number of events. Perhaps that could be added. The tourism, the sports events. If there are any ideas, perhaps they can assist as well, cultural events and so forth, adding to the events. The issue of domestic tourism is a weakness that we identified. How do we augment it? The issue of our attractions. Here, when we visit on our oversight, particularly in some towns, we find that museums and cultural items are not well maintained, and that discourages tourists from going to them. It's either they are dirty or they are just not well maintained. The issue of enablers and an enabling environment. The issue of transformation and action to correct the situation. For instance, the issue of rural people, the issue of the historically disadvantaged, the issue of women, the issue of youth, because quite often when we deal with our problems, we do not look at youth, and then youth starts having problems, but when they are looking for work, people ask for experience. As for contacts, they do not have enough networks. How do we deal with these things together? They cannot solve them on their own, but let us as a nation be in dialogue around these issues and around solutions. The issue of support to industries, the disadvantaged industries, but also the industries that are established. Sometimes they need support and incentives in order to grow. We have got undeveloped areas like the Wild Coast and so forth. Could there be incentives, and if so, what does government need to do? If the government provides all the infrastructure, perhaps would there be further attractions, issues of resorts, the role of cultural and heritage tourism, and on transformation, the broad base, black economic empowerment, the charter, and then the tourism charter, the role of partnerships in transformation, which partnerships would work, which partnerships do not work, how and so forth. Skills development, the issue of small businesses, the issue of government procurement, how can it assist in having a growing, inclusive and accelerated tourism industry. There could be other enablers as well. Let us discuss them and as we are looking at the way forward. But what we are looking at is, at the end of the day, we are looking at proposals. We may discuss about our difficulties, yes, but as a society, we need solutions. So at the end of the day, let us come up with solutions. I think that is the spirit in which we should conduct our commissions. Then I have two hands, Mike, and then you, sir.
Me first. Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Ustes, and I'm the chairperson of FedAZA Youth. I've just been taking in all the presentations in the meantime, but what FedAZA Youth is about is we've been going for about a year, and our objectives is focusing obviously on youth and identifying potential leaders of the industry. What we've been trying to do is we do a lot of networking events, we've been trying to organize job shadowing programs and just educate the youth and look at skills development, because I'm a passionate, proudly South African. You know, I'm very young and I believe there's a lot of potential in South Africa, but you know, I look at my peers and a lot of them, you know, go overseas, which is great for good experience, but we lose so many guys to the industry. Some of the obstacles that we've been having is because we're youth, we're very limited on funding and we're trying to put projects in place. And just chatting and hearing all the chairperson speak, you know, I think that when you look at youth and you look at the last couple of years with, you know, the Soccer World Cup and all these events taking place, the youth really embrace recreation and sport. And just hearing the gentleman with arts and culture, you know, I think it's a great way if FedAZA Youth could get involved with the arts and culture side. You know, just looking at also the green, all these things that are going on, and I'm really open to working with, you know, government and parliament, because FedAZA is very strongly associated with government. We're not a private business association. So I'm very open to chatting or getting some of your details and just working together, because I think in the next few years, if we can really groom and train and educate the youth, you know, we can really make South Africa the number one destination in the world. Thank you.
Okay, Sam.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I just want to be given clarity. You know, I listened very carefully to the minister and the chairperson yesterday when they set the scene, and what you have just been saying now as to what issue should we actually be looking at. So I'm actually trying to link what the minister has said, what was presented yesterday, and the program in terms of what needs to be presented in the commission. Because I think it's going to be very limiting if we are going to go according to the program, and you are also saying these are the issues that we need to look at. So it seems like the pertinent issues will have to find their way in somehow, but it is not actually very clear as to what actually needs to be done. So I would just like to have clarity as to where's the linkage in all these things. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure. I want to say members every time. Thank you, members. Anyway, it was the members of the summit. I think the chair is not specifically saying that the issues that he was raising are just a reflection of yesterday, to say there are many issues that people picked up yesterday. So it's not specifically to say that you are bound to discuss those issues. New issues must arise. That's the whole reason behind the summit. And would have more. Or the only thing that we can do is from yesterday is to say these are the challenges that we are facing with what was presented yesterday. And my interest, because I'm also young, is the delegation of the youth. How many are you? So that I was saying, if you are two, can you be in both commissions so that you can bombard them with anything that you want, and you must not fear anyone. Thank you.
Okay, let us go get on with our business now. There are small changes. Firstly, the presentation by Professor Tsuka will be in G41, and the presentation by Kailicha Forum will be in G42. What I propose, given what you have said, sir, would be with the people that will be the chairpersons of the commissions, would be that perhaps let us have presentations, each presentation after the other, and then deliberate overall at the end with questions and so forth. So that perhaps, for instance, if we talk about Commission 1, we have a presentation by AXA, by SAA, by University of Johannesburg, by NOT, and then thereafter we have questions and clarifications, and then inputs. But really, it should just be enablers. What you think can benefit us? I don't think we are going to have a lot of debates. It would just be proposals that we think that as youth, what is going to enable us is 1, 2, and 3. As people from the disadvantaged community, given the history of our engagement with government and all stakeholders, we need 1, 2, and 3. If we get what we mean. Rather than having long discussions, but let us just try and be to the point. And the main point is proposals, the way forward. South Africa needs a way forward. We may deal with everything else, but we need a way forward. As long as we have that in mind, I think we are going to succeed. So what we are going to do, we are going to break into Commission 1. Commission 1 is going to be here inside this venue. Commission 2 will be in G41. It's just outside. If you use these exits, it is G41. G41 is this side, and G42 is the other side. There are two committee rooms. And then as we go out, let us take our tea and then go into the commissions and meet at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock. Those commissions, those presentations that are there should be made each after the other, so that at the end we can then engage and make proposals. And I'm sure that most stakeholders know what they want from the conference. The outcomes. So be clear of your outcomes rather than just debating on everything and everything because you'll be the first one to be confused. So if you have outcomes, you won't engage in every issue. I wish you all the best, and then let us come back at 12 o'clock. Thank you. No,